Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Radio. Real Talk Podcast. Good gracious. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. Me and my man Keys. We're gonna talk about Vitor Belfort getting a win in the boxing ring against the former heavyweight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield. We're gonna talk about the not so surprising knockout that Anderson Silva had over Tito Ortiz. Then we're gonna talk about Jorge Masvidal. He wants to fight one of the Paul brothers, either Jake or Logan, and he also wants another title shot at the UFC, at the UFC belt. I don't know how that's gonna work, but we got a lot to talk about today. Plus, we had a topic last week that we didn't cover. I can't remember what it is, but hopefully when Keys get up here, he'll remember it. And we'll definitely talk about it. But, you know, a lot is going on. We got the big pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks. Actually, next weekend, we got the big pay-per-view, 266. So I know everybody looks ready for that. I know I am. Got two title fights up there. Usman and Covington again. And we have Wally Zane. I want to say we got Wally Zane and my good thug Rose. So we got a lot coming up. But let's talk about this quote unquote celebrity boxing thing. This thing has definitely grown legs. Become really, really popular. I think a lot of the UFC guys want to get in there because of the paydays. So, I can't be mad about that. I think a lot of the UFC guys want to get in there and fight one of the Paul brothers or whoever because they're getting paid a lot. They're making a nice little piece of change. So you can't fault these guys. You can't fault these guys for wanting to make a little bit more money. That's the way of the world right now. Everybody trying to make as much money as they can, especially when you are in the business of combat sports. You put your life on the line every time you jump in the ring or the octagon. So, hey, might as well make as much money as you can. We can't fault the guys for that or the girls for that. But what up, Keys? What's going on, bro?
What up, brother? How we doing?
Oh, man, another day, another way, man. Just hanging in there.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, I heard what you were saying. I've been just chilling. I was just trying to, you know what I mean, have you get your thoughts off. And I was following what you were saying. I was following what you were saying, man. You should have kept going. You were getting on a roll right there.
Well, I'll finish. But, it's kind of crazy that, you know, we look at this Triller thing with the Logans and this thing with Mike Tyson and them. You know, we look at it as I don't look at it as serious competition, but at the same time, you know, these guys are getting in there, putting it on the line, and I think they should get paid as such. They are making nice paydays over there. I don't know how Triller is coming up with this money, but they are paying the guys to get in there. And actually, they're not putting on a bad show. I mean, you know, you normally have like a rap artist or somebody do a performance in between the fights. So it's actually like a true event when you actually check out their product. And anything that's entertaining to folks will always, always make money. People want to be entertained these days because most of us are trapped in the, I ain't going to say trapped in the house, but most of us choose to be in the house. You know, we done got comfortable being in the house. And if I could watch something on my TV, my Fire Stick, you know, ESPN Plus, and I'm enjoying myself, I'd rather just stay in the house and do it and, you know, enjoy it in peace and quiet rather than go to the bar and, you know, maybe, you know, people sometimes can act crazy. So, me, personally, I want to see more of the celebrity boxing thing become more competitive. I don't think, like Keys and I talked about, I want to say 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I don't want to see Jake and Logan Paul keep fighting guys they're supposed to be. I want to see you jump in there. Well, Logan is actually doing a pretty good job with his matchups. You know, he done fought Floyd. You know, he fought the other YouTube guy. You know, okay. But Jake needs to step it up in competition. So we'll see what happens, man. But, look, Keys, I want to throw it to you real quick, man. What's your thoughts of the quote-unquote celebrity boxing right now?
Yeah, so first of all, I just got an Invisalign today. So if my voice sounds, I just got an Invisalign today. I just got it installed. So if my voice sounds a little bit different, I feel like it kind of sounds like I have a little bit of a lisp right now. Uh-huh. So yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. Just a little disclaimer right there. So there's that. But the celebrity boxing. So I was reading a comment the other day. And you know me, I mean, y'all know, if you listen to the show, Lee's more of the boxing, well, he was more of the boxing fan. He's still probably more of the boxing fan, at least compared to me. I don't think he's into boxing how he said he was before. But, you know that if you listen to the show also, that Kings is always going to take the chance to throw shade on the sport of boxing whenever I can. I will throw shade whenever I can because y'all like to, you know what I'm saying? Y'all like to play games and act like that, you know, you want to give boxers all this clout, but you don't want to put respect on the true fight game, a true full fight, like McGregor says, a full fight. You don't want to put respect on that, but you want to, you know what I'm saying, watch boxing. But then at the same time, y'all don't even really watch boxing. So that's the part of it. It's like there's, like, boxing be getting fake respect. Like, people want to act like, oh, boxing, but y'all don't even like boxing. So that's what I'm trying to understand. The real fights are in the UFC. So when we can all come together and understand that, then we can have a civil society. But the thing is this. This guy commented the other day on a thing on Facebook. And you know what he said? He said this. So they were going to have that fight that they just had. And I'm going to talk about that fight they just had because I know I have my thoughts about that, and I'm honestly disgusted, but we'll get to that after. So they had that circus fight that they just had, right, over there. They had the circus fight league, had the circus fight. So you had them, and this guy commented on a flyer for it that was on Facebook. And you know what he said? Lee, you know what he said?
What did he say?
I don't remember exactly, like, all of it, but he more or less said this. He said, it's sad to see that this is what the fight game has came to, or what the sport of fighting, he said something like that. Was it sad to see what the fight game has came to, or the sport of fighting came to? And he goes, this is just sad. And then I replied, and I said, and you know how when you want to correct somebody, you put the little star, the little asterisk next to it to try to correct what they said. So you already know what I said, right?
No, but I'm
so I said, so I put the little asterisk right there, and I said, well, what you meant to say was, it's sad to see what the sport of boxing has came to, not what the sport of fighting has come to. Don't say it like that, because that's not true. It's the sport of boxing has come to it. And this is why I get impatient with y'all because this is what you do when it comes down to it. You want to praise boxers and not watch the UFC, but then, you know, when it's bad publicity, now you want to try to shade the whole fight game, which tries to which in that statement, you're trying to shade MMA too. When you know that it's not UFC and MMA organizations that are putting on these circus shows, you know that it's not. So don't try to come out and shade the whole fight game and say, oh, this is what it's come to. No, it's not what it's come to. It's what the sport of boxing has come to. Those are all the events. You know what I'm saying? You don't see the UFC having any of these celebrity circus show fights. The UFC doesn't do those kind of fights. We don't do that over there. This is a legitimate game that we are in here, okay? The UFC, a very legitimate game. You're fighting the best guys, the most truest savages, you know, on the planet. And that's not just the UFC. ONE Championship is as well, you know? You know, there's a lot of MMA leagues that are doing that. But and that's what I said to the guy. I said, not only the UFC is not doing that, and really no MMA organization is doing that. None of them are putting on these circus shows. I know Ryzen will have guys, you know, they'll do crossover fights from other leagues. They'll do a Bellator champion will fight a Ryzen champion. You know, but that's different. That's not the same thing. These dudes are having, you know, you just had a Evander Holyfield's 58 years of age. Evander Holyfield is 58 years of age, and I'm disgusted, right? That y'all, if you bought that pay per view, I'm disgusted with you. I am really disgusted because 58 years of age, okay, and you put him in there. He should not have been there. The fight shouldn't have been sanctioned in the first place, okay? The other guy, Vitor Belfort, probably was on steroids for that fight. Let's keep it a buck. He was probably juiced out. And then he's over there celebrating the fight after like he just did something incredible. You just knocked out a 58-year-old man. Is that real life? Is that what we're doing now?
Hey, that's a
fake fight game. Let's call a spade, bro. That's a fake fight game over there. That's a circus clown show. I don't give a damn what they're doing. You know what? Dana White was exactly right. When he was at that press conference, this is what he said. He went back and they asked him. They were like, oh, how come, you know, one of the press said, oh, you know, the Triller, you know, one of the heads of Triller, he reached out to you and he said that you didn't respond. You know what Dana White said? He goes, I don't take their calls. He was like, that guy calls me off the hook 24/7. He's like, I don't want to talk to that guy. He needs to realize that. I don't take his calls. I don't do what he does. You know, he's not building anything. I run a serious organization here. You know what I'm saying? What is it that he does? I don't understand what he does. And when Dana White said that, that was perfect. And he was exactly right. And you are seeing that play out. Dana White really did predict the way that this was. What are you building? What are y'all trying to build?
Well, I totally agree with Dana, but Dana's in a tough spot though, Keys. His fighters want to do it because they're gonna make more money. So I know he don't want to pick up the phone, but what are you supposed to do when Masvidal come to his knock on his door saying, hey, man, they offering me this to fight Jake. You know, what is he supposed to do? I mean, you don't want to take money off my man's plate, you know, so it's tough. I understand Dana's disdain for this because I basically feel the same way, but he's in a tough spot, bro. He's just in a tough spot. And there's a spot I wouldn't want to be in if I was him because you don't want your fighters going over there fighting because your fighters are making them more money and it's money that you're not going to even benefit from, but the fighter will. So, it's tough, but on with you. You can't lump boxing in with bare knuckle fighting and the UFC. You can't do that because in bare knuckle fights, they done have some good scraps over there. They done have people that have beef with each other, get in there and fight it out.
You done had girls get in there, bang it out. And the UFC, of course, the best fight, the best. There is no dipping and dodging, you know. So, yeah, I wouldn't have liked that comment either. That if I was in there, you can't lump the UFC in with boxing. That's just bad, and that's just lazy.
And you know what's funny about it is that I don't understand these people, because this is what really kills me about this, is that these guys want to see fights, right? You know how many banger fights that they miss when they don't watch, you know, a lot of these UFC events? You know how many bangers they miss? And they think that you're going to see – you think – and you know, you know what really gets me too? Is that when they had the Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley fight, right? You know what I was seeing on my timeline? You know what I was seeing on Facebook? You know what I was getting texted? I was getting text messages with people saying, oh, wow, boxer, you know, they're just – how come they're just dancing around the ring? Oh, where's the action? Oh, da-da-da, he could have knocked him out right there. Oh, yeah, is that so? Is that so? Maybe if you watched a true fight, you would see the action that you're looking for. But you just want to do that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? You just want to dance around the topic and go watch the clown circus fight game instead, and then sit there and complain on the timeline and be like, oh, how come boxers are, you know, how come they're doing this? That happens a lot in the sport of boxing. I hate thriller event. It's not just Showtime's Jake Paul pay-per-view. It's not just those. It's a lot of the boxing fights. That's what happens in boxing. But you act like you're a fan of it, and you're really not. What you need to do is watch the UFC. Watch ONE Championship. Watch the true fight game. That's when you'll see the action you're looking for. But you like to disregard it because you don't understand it. There's too many different disciplines that are within mixed martial arts. It's too complex for you. Boxing, I understand. It's more simple to watch. You know, mixed martial arts, there's a lot more disciplines of fighting that are at play at once. But I'm telling you that if you watch it, you will see these classics and these bangers that you want to see. You know what I mean? A couple of weeks from now, you're gonna see Justin Gaethje fight Michael Chandler in the featured bout at Madison Square Garden. How many of those fans that are watching the circus act are gonna tune in to watch that fight? How many you think?
Being that it's at MSG, and I think some of them are probably casual UFC fans too. I think there'll be some that watch it, but I think the diehard boxing fans won't watch it because they just don't understand. They just don't get into the UFC. That's the only way
And then look at this. You know what? What's another thing? If you noticed it, you were saying before how, like, all the fighters are throwing their name in the hat. All Dana White's fighters are throwing their name in the hat to box. Well, let's look at this, right? If you look at the fighters that are throwing their name in the hat to go over there, there's a trend that you'll notice here. You know, one of my favorites, but Tyron Woodley, was on a losing streak. You know, he's kind of in a bad place. Goes over there. Okay. Ben Askren, another one, on a losing streak. You know, career in the UFC was in a bad place. Okay, let's go over there. Yoel Romero just came out and said he was going to fight Jake Paul at one place. Another guy who has been on a losing streak. Career has kind of been a bad place. He just had to go over to the B-League just to get a fight because he got cut from the UFC, I think. Now he's saying that he was going to go over there. Vitor Belfort, another guy who was on a losing streak. I think he got released from the UFC. Career was in a bad place. He was a free agent. He went over there. Everybody is. Jorge Masvidal, another guy on a losing streak. He just got devastated. He got dominated two times. One time he got dominated, and then the next time he got knocked the fuck out in the second round when he was talking all that trash. And I respect Masvidal, but let's keep it a buck. He was talking a lot of trash, and he's the one that got KO'd. He said he was going to break Usman's jaw, and Usman almost broke his jaw. So let's keep it a buck about that. Masvidal on a losing streak. Probably doesn't want to fight the top five at welterweight. Now he's Now he's throwing his name in the hat. He wants to go over there and fight Jake Paul. Lee, if you combine all the records of those guys that I just named off, you might have, like, a 1-8 record. If you do, like, all of their last – if you do all those guys – if you do all those guys' last three fights in the UFC, you might have, like, a 2-13 record or something like that if you add those up. Tyron Woodley was 0-4. Ben Askren left the UFC 0-2. Masvidal, last two fights, 0-2. Yoel Romero, I think his last two fights, he was 0-2, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because he lost to Costa and Adesanya. So that's if you combine Romero, Askren, and Woodley, y'all want to do some math. That's 0-8. That's three guys that want to go over there and fight Jake Paul. You combine their records in the UFC, they're 0-8. 0-8. So you understand in this league? Do you see? Did I make a point? Did I make a point? All the guys that want to go over there, of course they want to go over there because their career is in a bad place in the UFC. They're getting their ass kicked. Like, I'm just trying to keep it real. They were getting dominated. All those guys dominated.
Yeah, man.
You saw Belfort got released. Romero got released because they were getting dominated. Well, Belfort was also just towards the end of his, you know, time. He was past his time, so. But he was losing, too. He was getting – I think he – I want to say he got KO'd by Lyoto Machida. That was one of his last fights. I think he got front kick KO'd by Machida, and then he left the UFC, I'm pretty sure. So, bro, this gets the hashtag, what we doing here.
Hey, man. It's – hey, man. I totally agree with everything you are saying, but – I think you looking at it from being a UFC fan. I'm going to look at it from this point of view. You know, Tyron Woodley made more money in his Jake Paul fight than he did his whole entire UFC career.
Wait, what did you say?
I think Tyron Woodley made more money in his Jake Paul fight than he did in his whole UFC career. I think I heard somebody say that. I don't know whether or not that's true, but I think I heard somebody say that.
That's debatable. I don't know, bro. We got to fact check that. That's debatable. I mean, if you look at it, he had his last, you know, he had at least five title fights in the UFC, right? Four defenses. One he won the belt. One he lost the belt. So that's six title fights. And you look at, like, the average pay of a guy that's fighting, you know, in a title fight. I mean, I feel like he might – because he made – I want to say they said he made, I think, $850,000 to fight Jake Paul.
I thought they said he could make up to $2 million, depending on pay-per-views, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I didn't – I don't. Yeah, we. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I read something that wasn't legitimate. I might have read fake news or something, but – I thought he made 850 G's. I mean, even then, that's a very big payday for him. That would be his biggest payday to date, definitely. But
Yeah, that's the bottom line right there.
They were getting their ass kicked. The thing is with boxing, bro, this is the thing that irritates me. Everybody wants to sit there and watch boxing and talk about how much money the guy's made. I don't give a damn how much money they made. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, Floyd got, you know, $300 million for this fight. I don't give a damn how much money he made. Or they want to sit there and watch Canelo and say, oh, he just signed a deal with DAZN, five fights for $500 million. I don't care how much money they made. And also, I just want to tell y'all something else because everyone wants to seem like they know some shit. And I just want to put this out there, right? So I was looking at the payouts of the card, right? I just want y'all to understand something. When you're saying that boxers are making so much money, they're really not making that much money. It's the bigger boxers that are making all the money.
Exactly.
It's the big names that are making all the money. So let's not get it twisted.
It's the A-side.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the A-side of the fight that makes the most money.
Yep, it's the Wilders, the Furies, the Anthony Joshuas, the Canelos, the Mayweathers. You know what I'm saying? It's the Andre Wards. You know what I mean? The big names like that that are making the money. You know how much money? Go look up how much money Amanda Serrano made on that card. Go look up how much money she was going to make base pay for that card. And then we'll talk about how much money boxers make. Because if you look at it, the only two names on the card that actually made a UFC caliber payday, you know, something that you would make in the UFC, was Jake Paul and Woodley. Those are the only guys that were making money at, you know, six figures and up, basically. And then the rest of the card was making peanuts, pennies. So I just want, can we get the facts, please? Everyone wants to sit here and talk about money. I don't give a damn about money. If these boxers came over to the UFC, they would be getting washed in there. You know, so that's really what I'm at with that. Everybody wants these washed up fighters to go over there and fight a boxer. Oh, he can't beat a boxer. I don't give a damn if he could beat a boxer. None of these boxers can come to the UFC and beat a UFC guy. So what are you talking about?
Well, technically a boxer is supposed to beat a UFC fighter in a boxing match because
I agree.
Guess what? Because that's their area of expertise. Now,
I agree.
Now, if you tell me that Logan Paul, you know what? I won't even do that. I'll go CM Punk, perfect example. CM Punk comes from WWE, comes from wrestling, a wrestling background. Normally wrestling translates to the UFC because that's one of the arts you can use in the UFC. CM Punk trained for a whole year, a year plus. I want to say it was almost 18 months before his first fight. And he looked like trash. So he goes back to the drawing board, trains for, I want to say, another 8 months. They put him back in there. Looked like trash even more. Guess what CM Punk doing right now? Just debuted back in professional wrestling like a month ago. The UFC is not to be trifled with when you get inside that octagon against somebody that knows what they're doing. But I don't expect a boxer. Oh, man, my girl making me look kind of bad, though. Clarissa Shields, she kind of making me look kind of bad right now. But I don't think she has got in there with somebody that's well-rounded. She done got in there with people that I think the girls she fought have like a losing record. But at the same time, Clarissa, her hands were definitely on point in that fight. But we shall see, man. But let's talk about this real quick. Let's talk about Belfort and Anderson Silva, man, and they little boxing matches they had over the weekend. I got to say that Anderson Silva looks more like a boxer than Vito Belfort did, but Anderson Silva had the subpar opponent and Tito Ortiz. So which one did you think had the better performance, Vitor or Anderson Silva?
Well, I didn't watch either one of those fights, actually, so I couldn't tell you. I'm not really interested in watching those type of fights. I mean, I did want to watch, I like seeing Anderson win, but not enough to where I'm going to tune into it. You know, I don't care about it, especially watching him versus Tito Ortiz. I mean, I thought that was kind of like, that was a snooze. And then Vitor Belfort, I was never going to watch that one. So, yeah, that fight should have never been sanctioned. So I didn't see the performance, so I couldn't tell you, unfortunately.
Oh, that ain't no big deal. I mean, I think that when we talked about it, we was kind of upset because they moved the fight to somewhere that they were sanctioning it at. And to me, when you do that, that just let me know that y'all being shady. Why did you move the fight to somewhere where to be sanctioned at? But, you know, man, if I had to pick one based on the highlights I saw, I thought Anderson Silva looked more impressive. I thought he looked more comfortable in there as a boxer. And, you know, he said he would fight one of the Paul brothers if they asked him to. And I think Vitor Belfort called out one of them also. So these Paul boys have this little celebrity or whatever kind of boxing thing. They got people really, really amped up and calling them out, which is kind of laughable to me. But, you know, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I'm not a fan of his. I mean, I never was Vitor Belfort. I wasn't watching UFC around his time where he was really, you know, in his prime. I didn't see that. So, you know, he's not a guy that I was ever really, you know, checking for when he was in the UFC. But, I mean, of course, I know who he is. But, and then now, like, you know, him going there, like, and then, you know, he fights Holyfield, who's, you know, 58 years of age, and then he's out there celebrating like he just did, you know, some, you know, a incredible thing. And it's like, bro, pipe down, bro. Like, you literally fought a guy that shouldn't have even been allowed to fight, okay? Like, for his own health, not because I'm trying to insult him. Not because Holyfield, you know, wouldn't knock out any one of us. It's not about that. It's that he shouldn't be in the boxing ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that he, you know, it just is what it is. He shouldn't have been in the boxing ring. I don't even need to have seen the fight to break it down. He shouldn't have been in there. 58 years old. Like, nobody should be in the ring at 58 years old. And I know Tyson is up there in age too. But, I mean, if you look at Tyson, I mean, there's two big differences about this. Number one, you could see that Tyson is a lot more – He's in pretty good shape for his age, I'll say that. And he's in good enough shape to where he can go do an exhibition fight. But at the same time, when Tyson did an exhibition fight with Roy Jones, let's be real, there was a big difference between that exhibition fight and Vitor Belfort and Holyfield's quote-unquote exhibition fight. They said it was an exhibition fight, but from what I heard on Ariel Helwani's show when I was eating breakfast this morning and I was listening to it, he said it didn't look like much of an exhibition fight. It didn't look like they were trying to watch out for the fighters in there. They weren't trying to watch out for Holyfield and make sure that, you know, he was safe and that, you know, things weren't – there shouldn't have been any knockouts in a fight. You know what I'm saying? That's what they did with Tyson and Roy Jones. There was no knockouts in that fight. And if you notice, Tyson was throwing a lot of shots to the body. He was trying not to. You could see it. They were purposely throwing. What?
He was trying not to hurt Roy. I totally understand.
Yeah, exactly. And I understood that too. When I saw it, I was like, yeah, okay. So it's an exhibition. You know that they're not trying to hurt each other. They understand that. Okay, you know, we were at the top of the sport of boxing at one point in time, but we understand that, you know, we have gotten older and it's not good for us to be taking blows to the head. You know, we understand that. So let's have exhibition and let's do it right and let's do it safe. And that's the way they did it with that rule set. And that's the way the Holyfield, if Holyfield was going to fight, that's the way it should have been. It shouldn't have been, you know, okay, let's go in there and then, let's go in there and blitz a 58-year-old man. Like, that's not – they should be ashamed of themselves. You know what I'm saying? That whoever they sanctioned it, they should be ashamed of themselves. And that whole thing is a clown show. That's what I think about that.
Yeah, man, I'm totally with you, man. 58, you know, I mean, he kind of looked like he was in shape, but he had no speed, no head movement. I'm a big Evander Holyfield fan, man. Evander Holyfield, I mean, just to give the listeners a little lesson, Evander Holyfield is probably one of the most decorated boxers ever. You know, he got robbed in the 1984 Olympics. They say he threw an illegal punch. So he was denied the fight in the gold medal game, in the gold medal fight. So he fought in the bronze medal fight, which he won. And his opponent that won the gold medal actually brought him up on the big podium because he said he deserved to be up there. But, man, I mean, that's 1984. We talking about 94, 2004, 2014, 2021. We talking about 37 years. Come on, bro. Yeah, man, I can't get behind that, man. I can't get behind it. But I'm going to make you laugh even more now. You talked about Masvidal earlier. Okay. Masvidal got a lot going on, Keys. Masvidal has said that he wants his next fight to be a title fight. I'm sitting here like, bro, you just got knocked out within two rounds and you didn't even look good. What makes you believe you're going to get a title fight in your next UFC fight? You won't even fight Gilbert Burns. You won't even take another fight to at least get the taste of winning in your mouth again. Is Masvidal being delusional here, Keys, or is this his way of not taking fights? I'm going with B. I think he's trying to dump fights.
He said he wants his next fight to be for the belt?
Yeah.
What? Okay, so, yeah, I'm kind of lost on that one. That kind of took me by surprise. I wouldn't expect to hear him say that. That's kind of weird. Yeah, so.
you don't even have words. You flabbergasted, just like I was.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, you pretty much right. I don't even know like what to say. That really just threw me for a loop right there that he would even say that. He just got basically embarrassed in the past two fights. I mean, yeah, their first fight was kind of a snooze, but he still got dominated for five rounds and really had nothing the whole fight in the first fight, and then the second fight. Like I said, he was talking all that talk, saying he was going to break Usman's jaw, just to find out that he almost got his jaw broken. Usman put him out in the first two rounds, and Masvidal didn't even look competitive. So he didn't look competitive in either one of those fights. So what are we talking about saying that he would fight for the belt? Like, even if he were to win his next fight, how is he fighting for the belt after that? Even if he were to win against somebody else, like even if he were to take a Gilbert Burns or a Leon Edwards, who, for the record, doesn't want to fight him anyways, but let's just say he did and he were to beat, you know, a top contender, what would even make you think that he would go back and fight for the title? He just lost twice.
I do not know what's going on, dog, with what's going on in some of these fighters' heads and what they're thinking. But for them just to say crazy stuff like that, it just makes me not take them seriously. It's like, bro, you just lost to the champ two times in a row. Two times in a row, you just lost to the champ. You had a built-in excuse for the first fight. Everybody knew you had a built-in excuse. Took it on short notice. Didn't have a full camp. Okay, the UFC does you a solid. They give you a second fight, even though you really didn't deserve it, and you go out there and get blasted. So now all of a sudden, you want to do one or two things. You want to go box one of the Paul brothers, or
you want a title shot in the UFC. So basically, my angle is he don't want to take any fights in the UFC that's not a title fight, which you don't deserve. And it seems to me you're ducking Gilbert Burns and Leon Edwards. You seem to be ducking them. But your easiest payday is to go fight the Paul brothers. So if that's what you really want to do, don't use the UFC. Don't go to Dana White and use the title fight as your negotiating tool. Just say you want to go fight one of the Paul brothers. I'm quite sure Dana will be like, well, you're on a two-fight loser streak, so go ahead, do your thing. I mean, I was just thrown back when I saw this. It was last week on Twitter, man, or I saw it on ESPN.com or something. And I was like, man, what happened to a game bread? I mean, damn, this where we at now? So, hey, bro, it's just – that just rocked my world when I saw that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I think the three fight win streak he had, while it was impressive, you know, he had that three fight win streak and he was looking good for a period of time. I think like the fan base that he grew during that time really, you know, inflated his ego and it really got to his head. And now he just thinks that, you know, he should always be fighting for the title and he's just always at the top. And, you know, I don't know what he thinks, you know, I don't even know, but I think it inflated his ego. And, you know, that really, it changed, you know, his mentality towards fighting. You know, I think he has a bit more of a sense of entitlement now, as where before, you know, game bread is like, okay, you know, I'm bred to fight. I'm game to fight. Let's go. I'm more or less, I thought what game bread meant. It's like I'm meant for this. Like I'm made to fight. So let's go. I'm fighting anybody. I thought that was, you know, the type of time that he was on. But you know, maybe it's not.
And he's a BMF champ. I mean, that's just a bad look all the way around, bro. It's like, man, let's come on, man. Is he managed by Ali?
That I don't know.
I want to say he's managed by Ali, but I could be wrong. But, hey, man, moving on. This weekend we got Anthony Smith fighting my man Span. I saw you put on Twitter your prediction, so a lot of people might not follow you on Twitter. Tell the people what your prediction was for this main event Saturday.
Yeah, so my thing with that fight is that, you know, I just overall think that Anthony Smith is better than Ryan Spann. You know, and I'm a fan of Ryan Spann. You know, I like his style. You know, I enjoy watching his fights. You know, I think while I may not even watch the event, you know, I do like that fight itself. I may even try to catch that fight at the end of the night. You know, I might just try to watch that one because I do like the matchup itself. I think it's a good fight. I mean, I won't be mad either way. No matter who wins, but I do think, you know, if I had a pick, I'd go with Lionheart, man. I'd go with Anthony Smith. I just think that he's, you know, I just think he's overall better and he's overall the better fighter and he's more of the total package. And don't get me wrong, the more complete fighter is not a guaranteed win. You know, just because a guy, you know, is a better fighter overall and he brings more weapons doesn't always mean that he beats, you know, a guy who brings less to the table. It's not always the case. Sometimes the better man or the better woman doesn't win. You know, we've seen that happen many times. So, yeah, Span can win the fight for sure, but he can win the fight for sure. But do I think that he will? No. I think Anthony Smith is going to beat him pretty soundly. You know, I think he's going to beat him pretty soundly. I just think that he's – I don't know – by what method that I have him win in the fight, but I definitely I do think by finish. I'll say that I do think Anthony Smith finishes the fight, but I'm not sure whether I have him by submission or KO, TKO.
And I'm going to go the other way.
just because. I really don't know why I'm going this way.
But I think Ryan Spann has a chance of winning this fight, man. And the only reason I say that is because of his wrestling. He's a better wrestler than Anthony Smith. But the thing about wrestlers are you willing to take a shot to be able to get in close to get the takedown? If we remember the Curtis Blaydes fight against Derek Lewis, how did he get knocked out? Going in for the takedown. He got caught. Now, Anthony Smith, quote-unquote, is the better fighter, but I think Spann is the better all-around fighter. I would have to disagree with you on that. I think Spann is better all-around than Anthony Smith. Although Anthony Smith is a big-time veteran in the game, you know, he's been in there against the best. He's beaten the best. But I just like Ryan Spann, man. It might be my bias to new blood, but, hey, man, I think Ryan Spann might pull it. I think Ryan Spann pulls it out via split decision. I think it'll go off. Nah, you know, it's five rounds, huh? I think Spann pulls it out fourth round submission. I'm going to go Spann fourth round submission. Now, am I super confident in that? No. But I just think the new blood thing is starting to hit me again. I think the new blood thing is starting to hit me again, Keys.
You've been about the new blood for a while. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but, you know, it was something that we supposed to talk about last week that I can't recall. I was hoping you would recall something that we missed last week, but I can't recall it right now. So,
yeah, I don't know off top.
So what else on your mind?
I'd have to go back. I mean, I pretty much got off everything I wanted to get off, but I mean, this is one thing that I did want to. Well, it's actually two things I want to bring to the table that I think are both things that I want to hear what you think about. What you think about these things? So, first of all, did you know that Joseph Benavidez retired today?
Yes, I saw it on ESPN.com.
What do you think about that?
I think it's time. He can't get it done in championship fights. And for a guy his caliber and a guy that's been in there with the best, there's no need to take no more damage, you know, put yourself through unnecessary risk and injury. And you got that fine wife of yours. I'm quite sure the UFC will give you a job, you know, a little office job or a scouting job or whatever. You know, go ahead, man. Go ahead out right now while you still have all your faculties about you. And I'm all for that, man. I'm all for guys being able to walk away from the sport than being carried away from the sport.
I like the way you put that. You know, I think maybe they can get him on one of the analyst booths, you know. I've only heard him talk in a couple interviews, but I could see him. So I've never, you know, heard him talk in great length. But you know, maybe they could get him a job behind one of the analyst booths. I wouldn't mind. You know, I've always been saying I'd like to see more fighters, you know, involved with the organization. I'd like to see more breakdown from guys who have actually fought in the cage. So, you know, that would maybe they could hook him up with something like that.
Yeah, man. I just think, you know, man, you know, maybe him and Megan can do something together, you know. You know, she's good with the backstage interviews and all that good stuff. You know, maybe they can have, you know, have them do some stuff, you know, as far as leading up to the fights, you know, have them do some stuff together. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure. You know, maybe they hook up and they can get a pre-fight show going or something like that, being that she's already, you know, interviewing fighters.
Yeah, so Hey, man, you know, we wish him the best. You know, one of the best that did it. You know, and it's sometimes, Keys, I know me and you are not athletes, but it's hard for us to see our heroes leave the sport one, two, three, maybe four fights too late. Case in point, Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell, I think, left the sport probably three fights too late. Once he lost to Rampage and got knocked out, you know, that was a sign. And then he kept getting knocked out. It was just like, come on, Chuck, man, go ahead out, you know, with your head held high, you know, with the UFC on your back. But he didn't. So most people look at Chuck Liddell as a pioneer, which he is, but a lot of people remember those last four or five fights that he had in the UFC and recalling him being on his back looking at stars. So, hey, I'm glad Benavidez knew when to call the quits.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a great point. I mean, I think it's better for him to go out when he's a bit more fresh, you know, before he's getting to the point where, you know, he's not, I mean, he wasn't competitive at the championship level, but, you know, not waiting until you're no longer competitive at all to where you're just not, you're not winning any fights. You're not winning any fights. And
yeah.
I think it's better to see him not wait until that point. You know, the other thing is, you know, Chuck Liddell, I knew Chuck Liddell. I think Chuck Liddell probably should have hung it up when he lost to Rampage, and then I want to say he fought Keith Jardine after that. And then he lost to Keith Jardine, a guy who I really felt like he should have beat. And this is when I was like 10 years old, I think, 10, 11, 12 years old. And I was like, man, he got to beat Keith Jardine. Come on, man. Like, Keith Jardine was tough, definitely, but I didn't think that was a guy that was, you know, Chuck's caliber, even after, you know, even at that time, even after he got KO'd a couple times. I didn't think that was a guy that was his caliber. And then when he lost to him, I was like, okay, that probably was a good time to hang it up. You know, not going out on a knockout loss because he lost to Keith Jardine by decision. So I think, you know, not going out on a loss by knockout, you know, would have been better. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, man. You know, hey, Benavidez had a good career, bro. He had a real good career. So, I know me and you was talking about this last week offline when we found out our girl, Aldana, wasn't fighting. GDR pulled out the fight, and then we was the UFC is looking for her a replacement. I know when we was talking offline, we was like, well, Holly Holm is number two, Aspen Ladd is number three, and Aldana is number four. And if she can't get Aspen Ladd, if I was Aldana, I would just wait on GDR, man, because I don't think they're going to give you Holly Holm, and I don't think Aspen Ladd is going to fight her, you know, on short notice, because what the Aspen Ladd gain off that, only way she wins is if she win the fight, because if she loses, she drops in the rankings, you know, then she got to fight maybe two or maybe three more fights to get back in the championship picture. So, what you think Aldana does, man? You think she takes a short notice opponent, or do you think she waits on GDR?
I would really like to see. You know, I would really like to see her do whatever, because I think she's a number four.
Yeah, she's number four.
You know, part of me says I'd like to see her do whatever is going to, you know, whatever is going to keep her in a place that she's one away from a title shot, you know. Stay in that position, you know, whether that means wait for the number one contender to be healthy or, you know, whatever that might be. But whatever's going to keep her one away from the fighting for the belt, I think is a good place for her to be in. I mean, you're number four. You were going to fight the number one, who previously fought for the belt not too long ago. If you would have beat her, you definitely would have been waiting, at least waiting to fight Nunes when she was ready. So whatever's going to, you know, because I just don't want to see, you know, her take a fight that jeopardizes her shot, you know, like, you know, for example, when Frankie Edgar was already going to, and you probably knew I was going to bring this up, but when Frankie Edgar was locked in, he could have fought, he could have waited and fought Max Holloway when the time was right. But then, you know, Brian Ortega wanted to fight, and then he took the fight with Ortega, and then he lost to Ortega, and Ortega got the shot over him. So,
yep.
And who knows? You know, maybe if Frankie were able to get the shot at that time and didn't have to wait, you know, another year or a year and a half, I think it was, till the time, you know, so when that ended up being the end up fighting was like at least like a year, year and a half later. Maybe if he was able to fight Max at that point and not a year and a half later, year and a half, you know, of age, maybe he would have had a better shot at winning. You know, maybe,
yeah,
maybe he would have been the champion.
I totally agree because I think you fight, I ain't gonna say I think. Fighters fight better coming when they're on a winning streak than when they're coming off a loss. For some strange reason, I don't know why that is. I think it's the confidence thing because you're so confident in what you've been doing, your training and all that good stuff, that, you know, you feel better fighting when you're on a winning streak than you are when you're on a losing streak. And I think that loss really did affect Frankie because, you know, sometimes you start having doubt after a loss. So I totally agree with you on that one, bro. Totally agree.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? You know, I'd like to see her wait and see, you know, choose the best option for, you know, to preserve her fighting for the belt. You know, at least keeping herself one away and not, but not, you know, not going out of her way to take a fight. Like, don't go out of your way to be like, oh, I just want to stay on this card, so I'm just going to take this fight that, you know, might not be, you know, might not be a great matchup for me, but I'm going to take it just to stay active when this could be, you know, this could cost me a title shot after. So, you know, if she has to wait to fight the number one contender, I think that she should wait. And, you know, if she doesn't end up on the card, then so be it. I mean, as much as I'd like to see her fight, so be it.
Yeah, you just – yeah, so, sometimes you just have to be patient.
Be patient.
Just be patient and let everything work itself out. Don't be in a rush. Just be patient. But we covered a lot tonight, man. We talked about celebrity boxing. You know, we talked about boxing versus UFC. You know, it's just once again, whatever you like, you like. Boxing fans will always be quality. Pro boxing and anti-UFC. And UFC fans will always say UFC is greater than boxing. So, you know, that being said, any last words, Keys?
I just want to say that your boy DJ is got a big fight. He just posted it on his Instagram. You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, your boy DJ, they just announced a big fight. He's fighting that guy, Rod Tang. I don't know too much about him. I want to say it's a Muay Thai fight that they're doing.
Yeah,
it's a special rules Muay Thai fight.
Yeah.
So you're
going to
have that.
Fight.
It's a Muay Thai fight?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that for DJ, man. Because that Muay Thai, that's when you just throw punches in the middle of the ring. Ain't no grappling or nothing. It's just fighting.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know exactly, like, what Muay Thai is. Like, what exactly is that?
You remember when we was watching that one, when we was watching that one card when they first came on, and that was the night DJ, I want to say he lost, and those two guys just stood in the middle of the ring and they was punching and kicking each other.
It's just stand up striking with various clinch techniques.
I don't know, DJ. I don't know.
So it's fists, elbows, knees, and shins. That's pretty intense.
I mean, maybe he's just testing himself. He want to give himself another challenge. You know, I think he earned the right to do that because he's such a good fighter. So if one of your top guys want to try something different, and you know, people will tune in and see this because this is definitely something outside his wheelhouse. So that's wow. But
yeah,
you know, that's
that
crazy.
Last fight that he did with the world champion over there, I forget his name, Morais, that fight that he did there, like, had me on the edge of my seat, man. I felt like I was watching, you know, Jones versus Cormier or something. I was like really shook. I was like, wow, this is like, that match kind of had me scared. I was like, damn. I was like, we about to watch like two of the best flyweights like on the planet right now. This is really crazy. So, yeah, it's exciting to see him fight there. I mean, I'll probably try to tune into it, but yeah, we'll have to take a deeper dive into that fight and this Rod Tang guy. We'll have to analyze him a little bit and break that fight down a little bit more, maybe on next week's show.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll do that. And plus, we got UFC 266, not this weekend, but next weekend. Yeah, that's next weekend, the 25th, the following weekend. So we're definitely going to be doing our predictions and talking about that. But we will go ahead and get out of here for tonight, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. Once again, protect yourself, wear your mask. You know, vaccination is a personal choice. We're not here to tell you whether to do it or whether not to do it. We ask that you practice social distance and wear your mask. Positive people, positive energy, give positive results. And with that being said, Lee and Key signing off, and we always end the show with a peace.
Peace.